The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower and Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I have two return guests today, people who have been here with me before, Christina Morrison of VMware and Peter Jacobs, now of Acoma, formerly of Alliance Science and Technology. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm going to start with Christina because I've known her longer, and I'll explain why. We were connected on LinkedIn for a while now anyway, let's just call it that, several years. But about 5 years ago, I got one of my announcements, news on people in your network, and it says, Christina has a new job title. So I bop over, I look, and she's got one of the first social media job titles at a major company. She was at HP at the time, and now she's like this social media guru for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And go, wow, this is just cool. So no longer with HP, VMware now, what, about 2.5?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So cool beans. And Peter and I met at an event, and the reason we bonded immediately is we were sitting next to each other and making fun of the event for exact same reasons. So the event won't go unnamed. But needless to say, it was a marketing event, and we reprised that by going back this year and making fun of it for the same reasons again. But Christina, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to come on the show and so, catch up with you.
Tell people what you're doing at VMware these days.
These days. So things are great.
Annoying salespeople.
Annoying sales. Never, never. Always here to help arm the sales team to grow their pipeline. But these days at VMware, I'm now running our public sector and healthcare vertical marketing efforts. So just took up healthcare, added that to the team. So
I saw that.
Yes.
Very
so
cool.
Healthcare, both on the payer provider side, commercial, enterprise, and of course supporting federal as well as state and local and education, the higher ed.
A few bucks
hospitals.
In federal healthcare.
A little bit, You know, a lot going on in healthcare these days on the federal side, but I think that's a conversation for another show.
There you go.
But no, as you said, is probably about 2009, actually, when I first started jumping into social when I was with HP. And it came at a time where we saw a lot of decline in print media and online or print readership. And the market was changing. Everything was going digital. And the conversation was moving to the digital platform. And what I did at HP was adjust to the market, right? Somebody moved my cheese and I went after it and figured out how are we going to still drive these conversations and be viewed as a thought leader while gaining awareness? And how can I leverage that to help my sales team gain and grow visibility with their key customers? And it's something that I've implemented over at VMware as well by sharing with my sales team what I like to call conversation starters, giving them pieces of content on VMware that is market-based, that is dedicated to federal, we'll say, passing that over to them so that they can share that within their network and drive deeper conversations. Because one of the things I think that sales reps struggle with is, how do I have more meaningful conversations with my customer that go beyond, how's that PO? When's that order coming in? Let's talk about the upcoming contract and the bid and the proposal that I'm pulling together.
How big's my bonus this quarter?
Exactly, right? Now, how can I share something of value with you, customer, that's going to help benefit your day and give you some little insight and knowledge? And now I, as the sales rep, am changing the way my customer views me, and I'm becoming more of a valuable asset to that customer. And that's what I'm trying to do with VMware, both with our government and education and healthcare sales team, trying to help them elevate the conversation they're having with their customers.
Well, next time you come in, you're probably going to be CEO or CMO for the whole company.
Oh, so bless your heart.
Moving up that ladder. Peter, you've migrated since, we've talked in the interim, but, not on air, from a major science and technology provider, Alion, exclusively in the government market, to Acoma, which is largely government, but different beast.
Yeah, it's a very different structure because it's an Alaska Native corporation. I work in a shared services organization that supports right now 36, but growing, small businesses, 8As, that are all focused on various parts of service delivery. We've got everything from base operations people and facilities management people to network engineers and systems integration people. And the diversity makes it pretty interesting for me, but also the business structure of working with these independent small businesses that are all under the corporate umbrella. That challenge for me, just learning the business, I've only been there for 2 months at this point, but I am picking it up quickly because I've got a lot of great people around me. A lot of what Christina just said regarding elevating the conversation is a lot of what I'm trying to bring to what we do. It's really easy to just get into the laundry list of we do this. You know, here's all my bullet points of stuff I do. It's also really easy to lead with a contract instead of becoming intimately aware of what the customer's issues are. And all of those things play in. You know, the things we do, the contract vehicles, all of that's really important. But it's much more gratifying to a customer when you come in and don't try to sell them something, but instead try to solve their problem. Especially this time of year, and I know one thing that we're going to be talking about this morning is related to end of year. This time of year, you cannot waste your customer's time. And if you come in and say, I got stuff, what do you want? They're going to show you the door. But if you come in and say, I know that this is an issue, and right now is the best time to do something about it, let me help you do that. Why, looky here, I've already got a solution for you. You're going to become that person's ally. And that's really what we want to be. We want to make sure that our customers understand we're on their side.
Well said. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to do, again, is how do you have your customers think of you more than just pushing a product, or in my case, pushing software, and providing a solution and coming in there with the answers to solve their problems versus, you know, speaking in the language and the lingo and the acronyms that your company has created? How do you align back to that customer mission and solve that overall problem that you, customer, are having?
Cool. So we have enough time to start. Actually, I'm not going to start this. We'll go longer on the next segment. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'll be back with Christina and Peter right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here with Christina Morrison of VMware, Peter Jacobs of Acoma, and I just threatened to play the outtakes, and I think they were going to shoot me. So pain points. We're coming up, we referenced, end of year. So you've got, Peter, we'll start with you and migrate over to massive money, Christina.
Wow.
Massive money? Yeah. Well, comparatively speaking.
Like your professional wrestling name.
There we go. So what kind of requests are you getting from the companies that you support? Do you have any pressure from upstairs to generate end of FY funds? And if so, what do they expect?
Well, I think everybody's feeling the pressure this time of year, but that's natural. If you're in government contracting, you're going to feel that pressure because there's also a big opportunity. And the kinds of things that we're getting now at this point in the year don't seem to me to be all that different than normal course of business, which, you know, might be considered unusual, but in the kinds of work that we do, the services work, it's not really that much of a surprise. What we are helping our BDers with and all of those people within the individual businesses is finding ways to tell an end of year story that involves the relationship. And it's got to be about that. This is not the time to start a relationship unless you have something that is so absolutely perfect for somebody and you can prove it. First off, you may not get in the door if you're trying to start a relationship this time of year. But you can leverage that relationship and all the customer knowledge and all of the ongoing interactions you've had with them and say, look, I know we're coming up to end of year And I know you've got budget that you've got to spend, and you also have a gazillion things going on, and your hair's on fire right now. Let me make it easier for you and show you, here's what we can do for you to help you achieve that end of your goal. My job is to help our people make their customers look like heroes. And if we can do that, we're going to do a good job of making these connections.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think to add on to what you just said was, this time of year, it's about acceleration of pipeline, not generation of pipeline. Right. And when I think back, you know, as just we're saying off air, what are some challenges that maybe I'm facing in the market or within my role is the sales team's quota. And this kind of does make me always smile. My federal sales team's quota is aligned by the seasonality of their business. Yet when I try to explain that backwards to my corporate marketing folks who are aligning and pushing down my budget, it's hard for them to comprehend. And it's hard, I think, within marketing for them to comprehend what the sales cycle is within public sector. And that I do sometimes feel that they come back and they're like, well, it's your, you know, end of year. So we're looking for a big bang. So what do you got going on here? What's your big plan for the summer to drive revenue? What's your new demand gen plan? I'm like, if I try to drop something net new into market in July, to think that that's going to have an impact on my fiscal close in September, I'm off. My timing is off by 9 months. Now is the time, and this is a phrase that we used a lot at HP. It's our harvest season, and I need to be out there in the fall planting my crop so that in the summer, my sales team is out there reaping the rewards. And that's how I need, and I think everybody else does, needs their marketing budget for federal to be aligned. It needs to be heavier in that fall, winter timeframe when you're out there showcasing and driving awareness and building that pipeline. And that at this time of the year, you need to be helping your sales team progress and push the pipeline to close.
Now, let's take a little dive into that, doing your planning in the fall. What kinds of seeds are you planting? I know through your distributor partner, Carisoft, that Craig's always relied on events. Carisoft was built on webinars, and they're masters at it. But they've integrated live events very well into that over the last 7 or 8 years and a number. I know you do a lot of things with them, but you probably do a lot of other things as well. So, I mean, how much of it is content in more of the traditional sense, white papers, case studies, blogging, native advertising, all of that stuff? What kind of seeds are you sowing?
Are you sowing out there? No, I think that's a great question. I think it's a different tactic for a different target or public sector customer, right? So you're not going to see a federal CIO come to my webinar. However, that is a great tool for generating leads with, say, an end user or someone within the data center. And that's a great lead for me to send over to my inside sales team, right? So when I'm building out my overall plan and strategy, I'm looking at the different sales reps or sales leaders that I'm trying to support with providing leads to. So there's a different tactic I will take to provide leads to an ISR than I will to a field sales rep that I would to someone on my leadership team. And each tactic has their own place, right? You're not going to see, again, an end user coming to, or you wouldn't invite an end user to an executive roundtable. Wouldn't invite an end user to an executive briefing with someone from my leadership team. So looking at how your pipeline is aligned and where your top accounts are, where you're trying to grow, and making sure that you've built a multi-touch marketing plan to touch everyone who has a voice within that decision.
And that's something that I know you and I have talked about at length, Mark, and we've seen so much of in the marketplace, that it isn't just one person making the decision. So as Christine is saying, you've got to touch all of those points. Anybody who's an influencer has a voice and has a need. And if we can communicate with them and get them to understand, well, maybe if you thought about it this way, here's an opportunity to improve your situation. Now we become a valued resource and we become a trusted resource. And building that trust, it doesn't happen overnight. So if you're talking end of year, you can't start with saying, hey, you should trust me. But you can build on past relationships and say, look, you've trusted me for this. And by the way, we've got past performance here and there, and it's relevant to you because of this. And now let me help help bring this all the way to the end game by showing you how this can work with your budget, with your timing, in your situation. I do want to go back to that that point, though, past performance. It's something that is critical because nobody wants to be first. It's too risky. You know, very few people will want to take that kind of risk. But if you can leverage your past performance and make it relevant, don't just say, well, you know, we did this for IRS or we did this for DOJ. But how does that apply to the person you're talking to now? Then you've got a much better chance of moving something that was halfway through the pipeline or three quarters of the way through the pipeline all the way to the end.
And I think to add on to that, you know, I think when you're building out that pipeline and you're looking at the influencers you're trying to influence and to touch, and whether it's a system integrator or it is actually the executive or maybe it's even somebody on the Hill, right? Looking at how your budget is going to be allocated to hit those targets. You know, we talked a little bit about events, and everybody loves events. And events have their place, but your marketing plan, especially in federal, should not be 100% events. Not everyone's going to come to your event, and you're going to be missing a serious part of influencing key decision makers.
Well, depending
the
on
market.
The types of event, too, there's a limited
Correct.
Shelf life.
Yes. And again, you know, maybe it is an executive roundtable, and maybe it is bringing in that customer from the IRS who has had success within your company and influencing a prospect, and bringing together executives there who are like-minded individuals with customers to discuss their past performance. That, you know, is going to work and have deep rewards if you have the right targets attending that event. But thinking that, you know, again, having a roadshow is going to have that impact and the executive is going to show up is not going to give you the results that you're looking for.
Yeah. And you know, events, end of FY events are you know, very difficult to populate because everybody is just so damn busy.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And you know, you can have, you know, 150 registrants and, you know, if it's for a specific agency, and something happens where people at that agency are all of a sudden, you know, needed inside rather than, you know, the 4-hour lunch for the event, you know, just ain't going to happen.
No.
And those things are common here. Wow. But, you know, let's go back to reaching specific audiences, taking information that you originally target for and end user, and then taking the same information and repurposing it and rewriting it for a buyer, you know, a contracting officer. How much time do you spend on that, Christina?
I would say a good majority of the time is spent there. So I'll give you an example of something my team has just recently implemented and launched. We did a disruptive study focused on mobility and the digital transformation that's taking place within federal. No surprise that, you know, we discovered the federal employee could receive 4 more hours within their day if mobility was improved. And there's so many factors that, you know, go into that, the mobility itself, applications, security, et cetera. But there's other PR, social media outreach as well. There will be a webinar. There will be a roundtable. So that one piece of content is going to be repurposed and distributed in a way that is relevant for each end user or target. So there'll be an executive roundtable targeting the executive. There was social and PR around it, which is touching pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
There will be a webinar on it, hitting the folks at the end user level. So I'm touching it when I'm looking at what I'm tasked with, what my goals are. It's to provide leads not only to my ISR team, but my field sales reps as well. And I'm looking at everything that my team and I do to make sure we're providing relative content and messaging that hits those target audiences.
Well, it got on my radar. You know, I was only online for maybe 30 minutes before I came down to the station today. But that was one of the headlines, that four-hour headline,
yep,
is what popped. And I flagged it. I started in my email saying, you know, got to go back and read this because that could be real news.
See, and that's exactly, that's the kind of stuff that we're, and why we're doing what we're doing, so that it's getting in front of influencers. It's getting in front of the system integrator. It's getting in front of partners. And again, mobility and security is the topic right now, you know, no matter who you are, right? As a federal employee, as a consumer, as an individual, private citizen, this is stuff that we're all concerned about. How secure are our mobile devices?
So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I shall return with Peter and Christina right after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm back today with Christina Morrison, VMware, and Peter Jacobs of Acoma. So we have this issue of limited amount of time left, full budget finally for the last 90 days. So this will be a poster year for, does end of FY spending really spike? Well, yeah, it does when the budget's not approved until like 6 minutes before end of the year. But how are you going to support your salespeople who are in that massive panic, help me mode?
Yes, yes. So one of the things that I've been talking with my team about as the sales reps and even my marketing leadership is coming to me going, what are you doing? What are you doing to help push the end of the year? And it's, as I said earlier, it's about progression. And it's about sitting down with your sales team and understanding what is your objective outside of the obvious, which is to close more revenue. What is it that you're looking to accomplish here? And let's take a look at your pipeline and see where you are mid-funnel and how can we build a plan to push that? And is there a way to look at the funnel and build some immediate programs around it? And maybe it's having, again, an executive briefing to bring in the customer executives, our executives, to help push and progress the deal. Is it about bringing together customers and having a customer reference engagement? And, you know, that could even be something as simple as a conference call with like-minded peers discussing the topic of your choice. Is it about doing something similar again with an analyst and a customer, having that conversation with them about, you know, the topic of, you know, your business and how can you leverage these conversations to push and to progress?
Okay. You know, the analyst thing's not going to work for everybody, but for VMware, it certainly would.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And then I think also, too, you could also look at I could look at my inside sales team, right? And what is it that I could do to help them, since a lot of the things that our inside team is focused on is maybe renewals or lower dollar value transactions compared to some of the bigger deals that my field sales team is looking to drive. And what can I do for them to help them with conversation starters or sales tools or resources to help them maybe with a call blitz and some simple incentives to them? You know, again, it could be calling and catering for them, because we know as those last few weeks in September roll around, it's late nights for the sales team.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And finance.
Exactly.
Mm.
Right.
Jump in.
Well, of course, our model is very different from your model because we're a collection of services organizations. And that means that we're not looking for more of a transactional kind of business. We're looking for the long-term business and contracts that are going to last for several years. Well, trying to do that at the last minute is obviously very hard. And it all depends on, as I said earlier, the relationships that you've built. And we have a great advantage in that our companies have program managers on site. They're working with customers. They're seeing those customers all the time. Maybe they're not seeing that final decision maker, I'm signing the paperwork customer, but they're dealing with the day-to-day people and all the influencers all the time. They're the ones who are the eyes and ears. They're the ones who have a chance to influence decisions. They also have a chance to report back to us and say, hey, here's what I'm seeing. There's a big opportunity. We're doing this kind of service here, but they need something else that one of our companies does. Let's get in there. That's an opportunity for BD to really have an impact. The BDers, of course, have to have had those relationships all along. You don't want to suddenly bring in somebody new, but that PM is the person who's going to open the door.
Peter, yeah. I think, brings up a good point that a lot of times I think gets overlooked, and that's the value that having your services folks on site. And I think it's an opportunity also for marketing to have more conversations with the folks that are on site, because they are the eyes and ears. They are sitting there with the customer, and there is something that they may have just learned that may not seem like a big deal, but it really could be the opportunity that you within marketing have been looking for when it comes to building out next year's plan. And is there a story that you could help tell next year to drive greater demand?
An example, I'm working with a large company right now, and they have a lot of subject matter experts that are in agencies doing things. Well, part of my job with this company was not only to write the marketing plan, but also to build out an editorial calendar. Well, you know how little I know about technology. So I'm talking to these people who are SMEs, they're in agencies, and I'm just picking their brains going, what are the top two or three things that you're talking about? What are their pain points? What are the technological issues that are most germane? And this is helping me build out that editorial calendar for the content. And then we go back to marketing and say, what types of content are going to be best initially for this, and how do we repurpose it across the board? Is it a case study? Is it a white paper? Is it initially a blog post that we can turn into a webinar? How many times can we use this, and where do we put it once we get it out there?
Right.
So those frontline people are, God, they're wonderful.
Sure. And part of our job is to educate them. Christina brought up, if our people who are in the field, who are actually there with the customers all the time, aren't aware of what else can be delivered to them, well, that's shame on us. Yeah. That's our fault for not educating them, because without that knowledge, without that understanding of how we can help the customer in other ways, we've left that just laying out there. It's a big mistake, and it's something that I think more and more people are becoming aware of. And we're rattling the cages also to make sure that the knowledge is being pushed down.
It definitely is a missed opportunity if you're not educating the folks who are on site. And again, I can't stress it enough. I think that's a target within the sales journey that often is overlooked. I think the sales team gets very excited when they are able to sell those bodies, per se, and put those folks on site. But I think, making sure that you're going back and keeping engaged with those folks that are on site to learn more about what is happening. To your point, what's the customer pain points, and not the generic stuff that your corporate marketing folks are giving you about B2B pain points, but talking to those services folks to get a better understanding of what's the challenge that said customer is having, and how can you in marketing leverage that, and how can you help the sales team leverage that to drive more within that account? It also, I think, helps us as a company to become more credible, because the more value you're providing back to that customer, whether it's through content and education or if it's through services and the folks that are on site there, it's helping you become more credible and more relevant.
Right. I think in marketing, we like to say that, well, everyone in the company is in marketing, but they can't do that effectively if they don't have the tools, if they don't have the education, and if they don't feel like it really is part of their responsibility.
Right.
So that's something that has to come down through all levels of management and all directions of management. It's not just coming from us. It's coming from their supervisors, their general managers, their company presidents, as well as from their BD contacts and marketing. This has got to be an ecosystem that feeds into itself.
You made me think of something else. Being married to someone who is a services sold resource to the government, he never checks his corporate email. He only checks his .mil email.
Sure.
Never. And when I, you know, when he says something about, you know, it's time to do the corporate training and with the grunt and the roll of the eyes, and he'll make the comment about how full his corporate.com email is because he never reads it. And he's like, I never talk to anyone back at the company. He's like, I work for the government. And he forgets who he's working for and who the check comes from.
Right. The check doesn't come from
Treasury. The check doesn't come. Exactly. So I think, again, and even just, you know, from personal experience, they as the on-site people forget who they're reporting back to. And I think that's an opportunity for all of us.
Yeah. When I advise smaller businesses, it's amazing how many, in-place people they have and no brain picking is occurring.
No.
And I'm going, you know, you brought me in for what, and I'm not allowed to talk to this person about, huh?
Right.
Well, they're a billable resource. We don't want to take them off
we don't
of that,
take
Mark.
Them off.
Come on.
Right.
Well, and on top of that, the job can sometimes be seen as we're here to fulfill the contract, and that's it. Well, no, the job is to continue to help the customer achieve what they're trying to achieve.
Right.
We are doing that by fulfilling the contract, but we're also trying to look for other ways we can help them. That's a mindset that has to be taught and has to be reinforced.
It is. It is. Because your point was so spot on with, we're here to fulfill the contract. Yes, but you're also here to grow the contract. And the contract maybe in some cases could come in and be a value to you anywhere between $5 million and $50 million. What are you doing to go from 5 to 50? And what is your marketing plan to get you from 5 to 50? And a lot of times we just focus on, well, I'm going to get the 5. No, take the time to go back and call those service folks to figure out where the low-hanging fruit is to get to 50 million.
Cool. You can take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I shall return for the final segment with Christina and Peter after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Christina Morrison of VMware and Peter Jacobs of Acoma. And you can find both of them by going to acoma.com or vmware.com, just in case. Or you can look them up on LinkedIn and try to connect with them if they are open to same.
Absolutely.
So they're both there. Christina and I, again, we met on LinkedIn Quite some time ago,
and it's been a great friendship since.
It has indeed. And I'm sure you don't hold that first speaking engagement we did together against me.
Not at
Massive
all.
Massive crowd of three.
are you all still friends?
And we're all still friends. I mean, you know, I think that's a good example, as you know, we were talking earlier, of the value that LinkedIn can bring. Mark and I started out as just two people with like-minded interests and common interest in federal, in public sector, in marketing, and from there fostered a relationship over LinkedIn that then, you know, we met in person and it's grown. And
yeah,
that's the value of social media. It's not just about using LinkedIn to find your next job. It's about finding a new friend, a new acquaintance, and someone who shares like-minded interests with you.
Yeah. And you know, I've written several articles recently on social selling. If you're not engaged in it, the likelihood that your competitors are eating your market share is extraordinarily real. But not where I want to go in this segment. So, and end of FY is the harvest season. If you've planted properly and your pipeline is adequately full, it should also be your initial planting season, especially given it's not even the current administration climate. It's the climate that has built since 1994 when we had our last budget pass on time. 1994.
Where was I in 94?
You're probably a gleam in your daddy's eye.
There you go. Yeah, right.
Sure, let's tell that story.
Yeah. So we can assume there's going to be a continuing resolution or, worse, potential shutdown. But right now, your salespeople don't want to hear about your planning for next year because you've already done all of them. You haven't done all of the marketing, but everything that you've queued up is already there.
When I look at my team and what I want to see them focus on come October, it really is about the pre-purchase. And it's about driving awareness and consideration. And it's about having a conversation about what's the recognized need. And we can identify right now what that is within federal, even before the fiscal year starts. But it's how can we help them understand the value that VMware is bringing to the table and laying the foundation with content around research and evaluating and looking at educating and motivating the market at this time of year. As the year progresses on, whether there's a CR or a shutdown, the year is going to progress and the needs of the federal government are going to continue. And eventually a budget is going to be passed. And the winter is going to roll around. And that really is when you're going to be in that consider convert stage. And that pipeline is going to be looking solid and growing as the spring comes around. And as I was referring to earlier, as your crops are beginning to grow, before you know it, it is June and the summer is here and you're moving into July and you're the sales rep and you're reaping the rewards of our harvest. While my team and I are sitting back going, okay, great, you guys are off reaping the rewards of the pipeline we've grown, but my team is now thinking of what are we doing for next year? Let's start looking at how we're building out our awareness and our consideration and planning for next year.
I wish I could say it as eloquently as that.
Thank you.
That was exactly the message that needs to be,
she be good.
Told. Yeah, oh, yeah. What I want to be doing is prepping the market, educating them, and helping them get past that trepidation of changes coming. Now, it may be because of their agency's priorities. It may be because of budget. It maybe there's an event that occurs in the world that changes priorities. But regardless, there's going to be changes to the way most agencies do business or that their goals will evolve in some way. Well, that's scary for people. It's really scary because we've been doing it this way all along. We know how to do this. Maybe it's not the most efficient way to do it. Maybe it's not even maybe you can point to everything that's wrong about the way we do it, but it's the way we do it. So trying to get people to change and move in a different direction is really difficult. Part of our job is to help educate them on why it's good for them, get them used to the idea of it, but also to help our BDers and the people who are the touch points become more trusted. Familiarity leads to trust if it's the good kind of familiarity, if it's familiarity based on positive interactions and on results. So we keep reinforcing that, again, going back to past performance, doing the content kind of marketing, the white papers, the case studies, the ebooks, the social postings, just to keep reinforcing that message that, hey, change is coming, I know that, but it's not as scary as you think. And by the way, we can help make it less scary. So it's not only getting them prepped to change, but connecting that change to us as a force for good in that respect.
But again, we're looking at a situation here that is tenuous at best. Mm-hmm. You know, our 23rd some odd continuing resolution, 24th
or
18. And that's the best case scenario. So the sowing of your seeds, when one of your salespeople, once that new FY hits, when are they leaning on you for what's next, Christina?
When are they not leading, I think, is the relevant question there. You know, it's a continuing conversation with the sales team. And it's a conversation we were talking about off air about when the sales team comes to you. I like to follow up with them and have my team follow up when a sales rep comes with an idea. What's your desired outcome? What are you looking to accomplish, sales rep? And then let's look at building a plan to achieve that goal, right? Many times the sales rep is just, well, I need leads and I'm just adamant that I need leads. Well, let's look at those goals and focus on how we can deliver to you versus just jumping to the tactic of, I should do an event. Let's do a lunch and learn. Or everyone loves webinars. I'm not too sure if that's necessarily the right approach to hit the desired outcome you're looking for, sales rep. So it's a continuing conversation with them. We talked again, everybody loves the events. Well, I have a rule with my team and with my sales organization of I'm not signing up for any event until a sales rep and their manager have committed to be there. Because as we all know, there's thousands of government events that we could do. I sign you sales rep up for an event that I think looks good and you go or you don't go and you come back and say it was a waste of your time. I've now lost credibility and I've wasted a lot of money. So before I commit to any event, I need your buy-in that you see this as a relevant place for us to spend resources, human and financial.
Well, that is such a valid and current point. Just amplifying what Christina had said, all the time we're getting, hey, I need a one sheet. I need a trifold. We want to do AUSA. We want to do various events. And my first question is always, why? Not sure, what do you need, but why? Tell me what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and then let's talk about if this is the best way to do it. Maybe there's alternatives. Maybe it is the best way, and if it is, let's figure out how to make it the most successful. But these things shouldn't exist as one-offs. It should be part of a continuum. It should be part of a total plan to reach a marketplace with a message.
Well, yeah, and when somebody comes up to you and says, let's do AUSA, they have the vision of the 50 by 50 booth, and you have a budget for, you know, selling, you know, donuts in the lobby.
That happens way, way too often. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're running out of time here. Peter, give me some final thoughts on your current dilemma, end of FY support for 273 A-Days. How many is it? 30 summer?
We've got 36 and growing.
There you go. Okay.
The thing to take away is solve the problem for your customer. Don't go in and say, I've got something to sell. How much do you want? Go in and say, I see an opportunity to help you solve your problem, and here's the solution. The service, the contract, we've got it for you.
There you go.
My final thoughts. Sales goals are defined. Sales goals define your marketing strategy, and that strategy needs to be set by marketing. Those objectives, those tactics are then coming from that strategy you set, not the other way around. Don't lead with a tactic. You lead with what the sales goal is and grow and build your strategic plan from there.
Very cool. My guests have been Christina Morrison, Director of Government Education and Healthcare Marketing at VMware, and Peter Jacobs, the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Acoma. Thank you both for coming in. This is not my day job. If you need somebody to come in and offer an outside view of your current marketing plan, I am that person. If you need someone to help you with the social selling side of the universe, that's my other hat. So drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.